Our scripture reading will be taken from 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 38 through 41. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 38 through 31. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seeth pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. You may be seated. What we want to talk about for a few minutes this morning is death in the pot. Now, I'm going to say this again, but just so you know, the pot is the church. And there is death going around in the church. But I want you to know that there is life in this church.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
The word dearth means to be a scarce supply or lacking. So there was a scarce supply in the land, meaning something is needed. Death means something's died. So they were saying something done died in this pot. Huh? We can't consume it. But I want you to know that over the past 10 years, we have experienced plenty. We have had plenteous. We have not gone lacking in just about anything. When something is of an abundance, we have a tendency of carrying and taking to waste. We just waste it. I don't need that. I had enough of that. We leave it. Like with a loaf of bread. When there's plenty, you throw away the ends. I don't eat that. I take everything in the middle. We think twice about leftovers. But when things are scarce and ain't much in the house and you can't find nothing on the shelves in the store, those ends become of great value. Amen. I can make a sandwich out of them two ends. Amen. Those leftovers become another full course meal.
from the string bean to the piece of corn. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. When you hear on the news there is a shortage of something, the first thing people do is stock up. I don't know why there's certain things they stock up on. Stocking up on tissue and toilet paper. I mean, look here. If you can't eat nothing, I'll leave it like that. We shower and use water because there's an abundance of it. In Africa and other places, water is sacred. We water the grass. They have no grass. We bathe in bathtubs and take showers. They bathe in dirty water. They wash their clothes in the same dirty water as the cattle drink from that water. In fact, they also drink from that water. But I remember back in the day, two or three people took a bath in the same water. Young people, y'all don't know what I'm talking about here. The same water. Usually the oldest got it first and handed it on down. So by the time the youngest one got in there, the water was dirty, but you still cleaned up. Today, there is a shortage of both physical and spiritual things. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "The Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Meaning, God finds fault with those living in the world, then and now. Why? Because truth, mercy, and knowledge is not being found or preached. A portion of verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. So it's not because knowledge is not available, but because the people are rejecting what was available. Today it is the same thing. It is not because the word is not available or being given, but because what is available, the world is rejecting. And many of God's children are rejecting the word as well. Look at Isaiah 5 and 20 and 21. It says this: "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Let me say it like this: shame on the people who call sin righteous and righteousness sin. Verse 21 said, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They prefer their own reasoning to divine revelation. They think themselves to be wise and don't need any instruction. Therefore, they despise the warning of God and what he says through his people. Everything that is moral becomes immoral." They say same-sex marriage is okay. Do you know this is calling evil good? And we're doing just that. It's hard to stomach or swallow the things we see today. When you look on the news, when a man can leave his state with a gun and go and shoot and kill someone, and they find him justified. And if that isn't enough, a man admitted to raping a person, and the judge gave him probation. That is calling evil good. back in the scriptures in the Old Testament in those days, if you were found guilty of this, they stone you. No questions asked. Go back to 2 Kings, verse 39. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Pottage then was like a thick stew of vegetables. An herb back then was a plant that did not have a woody stem. A gourd was a wild vegetable. A wild vine is related to pumpkin and cucumbers. These were put in the pot. They were just added or adding what they found. I get some of this, some of that, this. And all of it went into the pot. But you know, today we're not limited to a stew of vegetables. Amen. We can make all kinds of stews and soups. From beef stew to cream of broccoli. Y'all know I'm going to talk about food. From tomato based soup to chicken and rice. You can have cream of onion or cream of potato. And when you are not feeling well, there's nothing better than that old recipe of chicken noodle soup with real chicken. Most of all these soups today come in a can already made. All you have to do is warm it up and maybe add some water, then put it either on the stove or in the microwave. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? But when a soup is made from scratch, one, you don't use a microwave when it's from scratch. You add the right ingredients yourself. For anyone who knows anything about cooking, in order for it to taste right, it must be the right ingredients and the right amount and cooked at the right temperature for the right amount of time. Amen. Don't overcook, don't undercook. A good pound cake needs real butter, not margarine. In fact, when I pop my popcorn, I want real butter, not margarine. And you know when it's margarine because when you pour it on, the kernels just. Good fried corn does not come from a can. You got to cut that corn off the cob. It needs some bacon juice to give it that taste. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know the cooks do. So whatever it is you're making, if one ingredient is wrong, it can make everything you put in it bad. You don't want molded cheese in your mac and cheese. You got to have the right amount of sugar in your Kool-Aid. Not anybody can make Kool-Aid. But a good cook knows what is needed. They can turn a bad meal into a good meal. They know what each spice does and what spice will offset the bad, even if it means adding water. So when we look at verse 40, it says, so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. In other words, either something is missing
or there's too much of something in it. Either way, they couldn't eat it. This is when and where some people don't need to be in the kitchen. And don't need to bring anything. Especially if you don't know what it is you're bringing or what you're doing. Too many cooks in the kitchen can mean disaster. It could mean a meal of attitude rather than gratitude. Two people can't put their recipe in the same pot. Did y'all know that? Your chili is good when you cook it yourself. And it's good when you cook it yourself. But when both of you add what you believe is good in the same pot, the taste will not come out the same way. Can I just give an example? I know my sister and my wife will understand what I'm about to say. My sister makes a mean chili. I was raised on it. Mean meaning good, just in case y'all getting the wrong understanding. My wife makes a mean chili. I've been eating it over 50 years. But if they mix their chili and all the ingredients and how they cook it, it might not be so good. Because she does this and she does this. And they both good. But it's their own recipes. So, the person cooking, regardless of what it is, must know what and how much is put in. Today, with the word, we taste and see that the Lord is good. And we don't need to go around mixing. We can't go around tasting every word from every pot in the city and think it's all good. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Everyone is not putting the same thing in the pot. Let me say it like this. Again, the pot is the church. You are fed from the church or by the church. You need to know what you are eating from your church before you think about eating from another. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Some are building their church on sinking sand. Some churches are filled with wild vines you know nothing about. We must be careful what we eat and who is feeding us. Why? Glad you asked. Today there is so much stuff going on until people don't know who God is. But they are trying to tell you who God is not. Some things taught is not God's teaching. And some of God's teaching is not being taught. God's people need to know and grow in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to know how Jesus lived so we can know how we should live. Some people have left the church, not because of the pandemic, but the pandemic was their excuse to leave. They go every place else they want with no mask and no fear. Some have left because of the truth, but some also have left because where they came from was no truth. In some places, the truth has been polluted and diluted. It has been filtered down and changed around. Babes are being left naive and weak while the carnal pursue their own fleshly ways. Preachers are preaching religion, politics, and prosperity. Christians are reading books and not the word. And the saints are beginning to believe what man has said rather than what Jesus has said. Look at Romans 10. Starting at verse 1.
Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm going to change the word Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for you, that you might be saved. That is all God wants for all of us. He is not willing that any be lost, but all come into the knowledge of the truth. Verse 2 said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. People are walking around with a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They have great excitement. That is until persecution comes. Excitement without knowledge is vain and no help. Let me say it like this. How many of you have jumped up with excitement because someone else did? Oh, you're so happy. I mean,
oh, that's so great. Oh.
And afterwards, you have no idea why they was excited. That's vain. You're getting all excited and don't even know what you're getting excited about. And when you find out what it is, it don't affect you at all. Don't help you none. I mean, it's like Rosalind coming in and,
what is it? I got my nails done. How'd that help me?
I know somebody said, cause y'all won. We ain't going that far.
But the fact is, we need to have knowledge. Now, if she'd have came in and said, I got my nails done, now I can get excited with her. I know what it is.
Verse 3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In some cases, because the knowledge of God is not being taught, people establish their own right. Others reject what is right and establish their own. Jesus' righteousness is now being pushed to the side for man's. Jesus said this, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this means there are a whole lot of gourds being thrown in the pot. A whole lot of wild words are spoiling God's people. Now, let's look closely at what it says in verse 41 of 2 Kings 4. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Those who ate were not only, those who were eating not only became nauseous, but the taste also affected what was being produced from them when they began to eat. Meal is a coarse, edible grain. This meal took away the hurtful quality. It neutralized whatever was bad.
not by its own natural power. This was not possible in such a short time. But by the power of God that came upon it, it was neutralized. For those of us that are in Christ, God's word is edible. It can neutralize and take away the hurt of whatever is bad. What we eat will not make us nauseous, but it will purge the sickness out. The psalmist has this to say. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. It says, the Lord gave the word. And God, I will praise his word. And the Lord, I will praise his word. Are you getting this? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Jeremiah said, is not my word like as a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Let's taste and see how good God's word is. For it is sweeter than a honeycomb. And last but not least, let's not forget this that it says in John 1, 1 through 5 and verse 14. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 14 it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to close with 1 John 5 and 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Let us not go lacking because we have been given a vast supply of truth to live by. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.